Let's go to Hebrews 11 again. Faith, now faith, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Remember, the substance means the foundation, and the evidence is the conviction.
I can't confess this. I never have seen, this is where they get that now faith thing.
You weren't here when we talked about that the other day.
Yeah.
I never connected that because it's too stupid. There it is.
It's right there. Right there. It's in the.
It was the way you said it or something. You know. Then it was like, oh no.
It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible.
It's in the Bible.
Now
faith.
So what is that? What does that tell us? It tells us that faith. First of all, you unless you know that the word Christ means the desired or the fulfillment of all desires, the manna, the true manna which satisfies every heart's desire, you will always make faith a commodity in order to get stuff. And you'll put hope in everything other than the resurrection. Or you might give the resurrection a passing glance. But modern Christianity that extends the reason for faith so that you can pass over into the promise after you die, go to heaven when you die, is nowhere seen in the Bible. And it produces being in the world and of the world, because we're not about the kingdom of God right now. That's for later. And it produces the idea that there are two different kinds of lives. There's the secular life and the spiritual life. And you have Sunday behavior and weekday behavior. And it is heresy. But heresy is produced also by the idea that it's for ethical or political purposes is the reason that Christ came. The Reconstructionists that today, the Pat Robertsons, that are going to set up the kingdom of God on earth, and all of these idolaters and people that don't agree with their morals are sinners and they're going straight to hell. But the worst heresy it produces is the salvation of the isolated self. And the enrichment and betterment of the isolated self. Unless Christianity is a overriding transcendental reality, it produces just a myriad of heresies. Until you see that the New Jerusalem is your ever and always surrounding reality, it's more real than anything that you can sense. And that eternal life is life without regard to time, then you will fall into one of those three or probably many other heresies. And you will believe another gospel. You will think suffering is strange. You will use faith as a commodity. And it's my opinion that it is impossible to see this transcendental reality without the gift of faith of the Holy Spirit. And you won't have the gift of faith until there's emptying of self. In all arenas, then the faith is more manifest. What?
Well, it just hit me in a lot of ways that except for the embracing of the cross, there's a heresy for everyone, and that's all that will happen. If you don't see that, then you'll find the heresy that works for you.
But the faith is both transcendent and it's corporate. It's our Father who art in heaven, not my Father who art in heaven. Its life is lived and realized and manifested in mansions, is the way the New Testament translates it, in satyrs, in minions, in groups of 10 to 20 people, where there's no opportunity for hiding. In my Father's house, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many satyrs. For were not true, I would not have told you so. It's got to hit you sometime that for over 300 years there was never a building called a church. The people met in homes, 10 to 20, just like in the 10 to 20 that had to make up a minion in the Seder, in the pre-Christian era. It was the number. It was based on the number that could eat the Passover lamb, and everyone would be full, and there would be nothing left over in the morning. Well, the day is dawning, and they better have nothing left over, and you had better be fully filled.
I think about that Seder. A lot of times when you hear it, oh, it's a house, that's the only place I can go and park my body or whatever. But the Seder is a place where you belong, where you're at home, where you are needed, where you function. It's a place where you're... You
know, it's your family.
Yeah, you live there.
Now, remember, the greatest enemy of this revelation, of the gift of faith, is hope. Hope in something other than the resurrection. And we're going to take a closer look now at the Jebusites, which represent, they were the last tribe of Canaan to be destroyed, except they weren't totally destroyed because it says they're there until this day. Hopefully that can you see how this mystery of the gift of faith is so tied to your willingness to empty yourself of these false hopes? If you can't, then the gift of faith is always going to be over here. It's not going to be you. It's not going to be remud. It's not going to be mixed with you. Because you are still occupying this temple with the Jebusite. Now the seven mountains are the seven tribes, and the seven plagues, and the seven seals, and all of the sevens. As you know, I believe they are total and complete revelation of what happens in our minds, the seven mountains, the seven high places. We war against spiritual wickedness in the high places. That didn't mean up in Washington. The high places are in your mind, because your mind is the instead of Christ. It's the greatest enemy. Now, as in everything, remember the word Methuselah? When he shall die, the end shall come. He was the last man to alive. I mean, when he died, the flood came. Well, the word Jebusite comes from the word bus in Hebrew. And it means to be trodden underfoot, to be trodden under the foot of God. But there's several different. It's the use of it is Yebusi is Jebusite. Mebusai means the downtreading or subjugation, and Tebusa means ruin or downfall. Now let's look at Zechariah 10. Is this interesting to anybody except me? Hmm? Oh, yeah. We can talk about, you know, how to get your hopes fulfilled, how to have a happy marriage. Zechariah chapter 10. Ask you of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field. Now again, remember in Joel it talks about, well, several places, it talks about the early rain and the latter rain. The word for early rain is the same word as for teacher of righteousness. The word for latter rain is the clarity. It's the word that means also the clarity of a bell, perfectly cast bell. So the early rain is happened at Pentecost. It's when the teacher of righteousness was shed on all flesh. Now the latter rain is when all the idolatry is revealed and exposed and trodden underfoot, including the idolatry that's most manifest, and that's the idolatry of hope. And finally, when that is gone, then the mystery of God will be unto you with the clarity of the perfectly cast bell. But it won't happen, and He's not going to fight your efforts. He cannot fight your efforts. He cannot occupy in your idolatry. Does everybody capture this? So listen. Ask you of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field. For the idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie and have told false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore they went their way as a flock. They were troubled because there was no shepherd. It's a picture of the sheep running around trying to find teachers that satisfy their itching ears. Teachers that want that satisfy their itching hope. For some reason, this is so pristine and clear to me today. It's like it just makes me cry. Mine anger was kindled against the shepherds, and I punished the goats. For the Lord of hosts hath visited his flock, the house of Judah, and hath made them as his goodly horse in the battle. Out of him came forth the corner, out of him the nail, out of him the battle bow, out of him every oppressor together. And they shall be as mighty men which tread down, which may boost their enemies. In other words, instead of these false hopes being your idolatry, God is going to cause you to dance on your high places so they no longer control you. You will laugh at the shame. You will ridicule the groves. You will, and so you, as it says in Deuteronomy, you will dance on your high places and you will trodden down underfoot these enemies. At the time when you pray for this latter rain, this clarity of the bell. Is that clear? Or is that too weird? They shall be as mighty men which tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle, and they shall fight because the Lord is with them, and the riders of the horses shall be confounded. They're not talking about anything outside. They're not talking about you going to battle with Osama bin Laden. They're talking about you being willing to go to battle with the enemies of God in you. Anything that says it's not perfect, anything that says it isn't finished. Now the horses, remember the four horses of the apocalypse? There's the white horse. He's the first one that comes out. It says he has a sword. And he's sitting on the horse. And people say, well, that must be Jesus. Well, no, it's not. He's got a bow with no arrows. He is only there to he has no power. The white horse, that's your idea that comes out. Aha! I've got an idea. And then, we'll do this later, but then the three other horses follow, and they produce death. But then there's another. Then there's a stable. Then there's another idea. So every time you have an idea, every time you have a plan, every time you have an agenda, then you let out the horses. And this is why it says... Well, anyway, I don't want to go there. I didn't want to even go there, because if you don't understand this, then if you haven't heard all this stuff about the horses of the apocalypse, then you won't understand anything I'm talking about anyways. And the riders of the horses, the riders on horses shall be confounded, ashamed, disappointed. That's what every single one of your ideas do. Every single one of your plans. All right, go to Isaiah 63. No, Isaiah 60. Yeah, 63 first. Who is this that cometh from Edom with his dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. This is a revelation of Christ. Where art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth the wine fat? I have trodden. I've made boost. And this is like, you remember, it's Elimelech or Molech is the false god and Melech is the right god. These words are just a vowel point away from each other. So it's the mystery of God is that you speak from the Bema. Bema is a low place, right? Yeah. But it's only one point, vowel point away from the Bama, which is the elevated place. The rabbis always spoke from the lowest place, the Bema. To indicate they were the servants of all. And we have now the church leaders speak from the Bama, the high place. One vowel point difference. One vowel point difference from hope, which I believe was what the real meaning of the Jebusite is, and Mebusa, the downtreading. I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. That's what has to happen within you. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help. And I wondered, that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me. My own seed, my own Zeruah. Because the human race is fallen. It cannot see, it cannot hear. And the human mind is the instead of Christ, the instead of God. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down, I will mebusa again the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. And I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord, and the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord hath bestowed upon us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, the bride, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies, and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was and is their Savior. I don't know if I've talked to any of you in your mind, but I pray that I've talked to you in your heart. So you stop this incessant idolatry. Always looking and seeing something different, seeing the way you think it should be. That's putting yourself in the house of God, sitting on the throne as God, showing yourself that you're God because you're judging right and wrong, good and evil. Nice and not nice. Instead of wherever you look, you see him and his finished work. I don't feel like talking anymore. That wore me out for some reason. I didn't yell, did I?
You bordered on yelling.
Very assertive.
What? You got your point across.
Very assertively, you got your point. It's like I came back to earth and all of a sudden.
One of the things you said really struck me about seeing this clearly in the mentional cry. It made me think of Jesus looking at Jerusalem.
Seeing what clearly?
The mystery.
I don't even remember saying that.
You said something about you want to cry. It makes you sad.
Yeah, the clear and pristine.
Yeah, see how clear and how perfect, and there's no shade. No, I mean, it's just there. And it's like when Jesus looked over Jerusalem, he wept. You know, I assume the same reason as what I saw. But, you know, it's so clear, and yet his own people can't see it. And that's the shame of it.
You go your way as though you belong to another, and your fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men.
The Jebusites. So, I've been trying to figure out what.
Go to Judges 1. Verse something or other. You remember there are seven tribes that are the usurpers on the land of Canaan. So and slowly, one by one, the tribes are defeated. Benjamin was supposed to defeat the tribe of the Jebusites in Jerusalem. But instead, he made an alliance with them. And it says, in verse 20, it says, and they gave Hebron unto Caleb, and as Moses said, and he expelled thence the sons of Anak. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. And the Jebusites are hope. There's no word for hope in the Old Testament. The word that's translated hope is always the word supreme confidence. And the only time the word hope is used in the New Testament as it relates to the resurrection. But not the resurrection back then, the resurrection in you.
Right. I'm trying to connect the dots.
You're trying to use that which is cursed to gain that which is blessed.
Well, I'm trying to understand. I don't know. Doesn't matter. I was trying to figure out, is the Jebusites a vowel point off of something else? Because you were doing the vowel point thing. What am I missing here?
Yeah, remember, it's the idea that they probably like the name Jebusites, but they didn't realize in Hebrew it meant down, fit for only to be trodden underfoot.
Oh, okay.
The same as Methuselah. Oh, that's a great name. Thank you for naming me Methuselah. And then, but in Hebrew it means when he shall die, the end shall come. Or remember the Malan and Chilean. It's the same thing. It's the mystery of God that's locked in these names. Oh yeah, that's a good name.
It was like the temple was bought. The place for the temple was bought from the guy who was a Jebusite.
Jebusite.
So it's like the. It's they're important. It's because they're there right to the.
To this day.
Yeah.
We'll go into that tomorrow.
The change of.
I'll study the history of the Jebusites tomorrow. Okay.
Tuesday.
What day is it today?
Friday.
So Monday's a holiday, that means we're not going to have Bible study on Monday?
Monday's a holiday.
So I'll probably forget and come here again?
We'll leave you a note.
Yeah, but it's the 4th of July.
We'll set up a recorder, you can record a message.
Monday is not the 4th of July. Monday is the 5th of July.
Exactly. I'm all for it.
Are we going to... I hate these stupid days. Are we going to have a cookout when? Sunday or Monday?
Monday.
Are you? Did you send out a little notice?
We're having a roast.
Who are we going to roast? Oh, we're going to roast Tammy. I remember you told me now. Oh, good.